Father, we thank you. We thank you for you, for who you are, your goodness, your righteousness, your holiness, and Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, your tenderness, and your patience. Father, we pray this morning now as we have praised you, and I pray, Lord, that this is accurate, that we have worshiped you in spirit and in truth, that we have praised you from our heart, worshiping you in song. And just as we have done that, Father, I pray now that we would worship you, that you would receive our worship as we worship you by turning our hearts to you, to your word, giving heed to your word. Lord, give us ears to hear, that we could really hear what you want to say to us, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would do a work in this place and Lord, really in our hearts. Lord, we want to hear from you today. We need to hear from you. Father, please speak to us now through your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of today's teaching is, Do You Miss the Lord? You know, I trust that most of us here have a vital, close, personal relationship with the Lord, and that we love him because we know that he loves us, and that he died to remove our sins so that we could have a relationship with him. And I'm sure most of you here can't imagine letting a day go by where you don't pray or worship him, praise him in some way. But I'm also sure that there are some here that may have had that kind of relationship with him at one time, but no longer do. That somehow you're not there anymore. There's distance between you and God. And you could go weeks or even months without prayer. And, you know, as we were worshiping the Lord in song, you were just going through the motions. Your heart really wasn't there. Maybe, you know, maybe you didn't even want to be here today. And to most people looking on, though, you appear to be fine. Everything's good. You know, they can't tell, you know. There's no different from anyone else here today. But inside, you know something's wrong. You know things have been wrong. You, like I said, you might not even have wanted to be here today, but you're here, going through the motions. And now, hopefully, God has your attention because he wants to speak to you today, if that's you. And today, we will look at Israel and their relationship with the Lord and how they were at a place of no longer being in fellowship with the Lord, being at a distance and then realizing it, realizing that they were far from the Lord and that they wanted to come back to the Lord. And we'll see how that happened and what they did about it. And we'll consider how that applies to us today. And you know what? Just in case, just so you don't check out, even if you are right and tight with the Lord right now, don't check out, okay? Give an ear to this, because you know what? There are people around you in your life, relatives or friends, that aren't walking with the Lord right now, that do have that distance. And you can help them by what we see in God's word today. Now, here in 1 Samuel, remember, we're still in the time of the judges. Samuel is the high priest. He's also a prophet and the judge over Israel. And Israel, as we saw last week, they now have the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistines. 50,070 Israelites have just died because they looked into the Ark. And that's where we pick it up in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel 7. Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So understand that. The men of Kirjath-Jearim, they went to Beth Shemesh after God's judgment on that city, and they brought the ark into their city, leaving it with a Levite named Abinadab. And the ark would stay there until David became king. But notice that last part in verse 2. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. I think the NET Bible, the New English Translation, words it really good. All the people of Israel longed for the Lord. One translation words it, they yearned for the Lord. See, it's been a long time since Yahweh was at the center of Israel's national life. It's been a long time since the people of Israel had sought the Lord individually, personally, for themselves. And when we were in Judges, remember, we saw during that time in Israel's history, we saw it several times, that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, the thing is, in this day and age, that sounds like, well, that's good. You just got to be true to your heart. Just do what's right in your own eyes. And as we saw there, it's not good. That they were doing what was right in their own eyes without any regard as to what was right in God's eyes. See, you're not going to stand in front of you on Judgment Day. I'm not going to stand in front of you. You're not going to stand in front of me. But the Bible says we will all give an account to God. And so we want to make sure that we're doing what is right in God's eyes. See, they were just doing their own thing, living for themselves. God's will didn't matter. They lived according to what they thought was best. They did whatever they wanted to do. Folks, understand, and most of you know this, that's really an empty kind of life. No meaning, no purpose. And I think we've all been there. In fact, a lot of us got saved because we came to that place of saying, there's got to be more to life than this. Unfortunately, even once we realize that, even once we realize that living for ourselves, doing our own thing, is empty, a lot of times we can forget that. A lot of times we can kind of drift away from the Lord and end up being at that place where there's distance. You know, because the world is always enticing us, right? And the Bible tells us the world, the whole world, lies under the sway of the wicked one. The world is always out there saying, oh, come on back. You know, go on. It's fun. Come on, do this. This is fun. This is exciting. Hey, you've never done this before. Oh, you deserve this. Come on. It's your life. But understand this. If you are a born-again Christian, if you gave your life to Christ at some point, if you came to that place of understanding that you've sinned and that Jesus died for your sins and that you needed a Savior and you came to Him and said, God, I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. Come into my life. He did that, but the Bible says you're no longer your own then. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. The Bible says we were bought and paid for with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He bought us with His blood. We gave ourselves to Him. So our lives are not to be about us anymore. And when we drift back into that kind of lifestyle, it's empty. But that's often the way that we drifted the Lord. Away from the Lord is that we allow ourselves to be enticed by the desires of the flesh, and oftentimes that drifting happens without really planning or having a thought of getting into sin. You know, I'm just going to do this instead of doing that, what I ought to do. And a lot of times that's the way it is. I just want to do this without considering the Lord's will. And before you know it, life ends up being all about your will and no longer about His will. And it soon becomes a habit. I've talked to so many people that You know, I used to really have a great relationship with the Lord. Man, I was on fire for him. I loved him. And I recognized what he did for me and dying for me. And he drew me to himself and saved me. Oh, I used to love reading the Bible. I couldn't wait to go to church. Man, I was there every time the doors were open. I wanted to know more and more about my Savior. I was praying all the time. Man, I was praying when I go to bed, praying when I got up, praying when I was driving in my car. Man, I was praying all the time. And man, one thing led to another, and you know, I just got out of the habit. I just got out of the habit. I started doing this, started doing that, and pretty soon I wasn't even going to church. I've heard that from so many people. Because, see, that habit then turns into a lifestyle, and it just becomes, well, that's what I do. Here, Israel realizes their state. They're not in fellowship with the Lord anymore. He no longer fights for them. His hand of blessing is no longer on them. It's been removed. They've heard of the past victories. They heard how God brought them out of Egypt, how God led them through the wilderness, how he parted the Red Sea, how he fed them with manna, how he parted the Jordan River to bring them into the promised land, how God defeated all their enemies. They've heard how God even used the different judges in times past to deliver them from problems. And now they're yearning, they're longing for the Lord's presence in their lives and in their nation. So God has Samuel speak to them. Look at verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." Again, I think the NET Bible brings out a little bit more clearly what Samuel said to Israel. Verse 3 in the NET Bible says, "If you are really turning to the Lord with all your hearts, remove from among you the foreign gods and the images of the Ashtoreths. Give your hearts to the Lord and serve him, only him, then he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." See, the thing is, if they were really turning to the Lord, if they really wanted to have a right relationship with the living God, then they had to repent. And repentance simply means you're going in one direction, and now you turn around, and you're going in a different direction. See, they had to turn from their sin, from the idols, and turn to God if they wanted a right relationship with him. They had to get rid of those things. God's not into some kind of spiritual time-sharing program with us. We can't worship idols and worship other things and then turn to him on a whim, turn to him when we think, "Oh, okay, I want a little bit of God in my life now." God's not going to have any of that. He's a jealous God, the Bible says. We have to turn from sin to turn to God. You know, it's the same message that John the Baptist gave when the religious hypocrites were coming to him to be baptized. In Matthew 3, verses 7 and 8, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance.'" Now, I understand that message is not very seeker-sensitive, but it's the right message. That's what it takes to come to God, to be right with God. It takes repentance. We have to be willing to let go of any sin, anything that is in the way between us and God, including self. And folks, understand this. Any sin is in the way between you and the Lord. Sin separates us from the Lord. You may be tired of getting this verse read. I think we've read it probably two or three times now in the last month. But Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 reminds us of this fact. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." This was Israel's problem. Their sins were keeping God at a distance. no longer delivering them, no longer answering their prayers. And you know what? At this point, they're sick of this kind of life. And they want God back in their lives, back in their nation. And Samuel told them what they needed to do. You got to repent. Look at verse 4. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. They were serious. They did what the man of God told them they needed to do. They repented. They got rid of the things that were in the way, the false gods, the idols. And they turned their hearts totally, it says, to the Lord only. And you'll notice there, that word Lord is in all capital letters. And just in case you don't know this, whenever you see that, whenever you see the word Lord in all capital letters in your Bible, that's the translators telling you this is actually the proper name of God here in the original language. It's the consonants YHVH or YHWH in the Hebrew. And they're telling you, they turn their hearts to Yahweh only. Only to Him. And now, verses 5 and 6, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Notice this, folks. They followed through. They followed through with their commitment. Not only did they get rid of all of their idols, as we just saw in the previous verse, but here we see that they went before the Lord. They humbled themselves by fasting. And that was a way of showing their repentance, a way of showing their humility by fasting. And they confessed their sins to the Lord. And you know what? This is an awesome thing. They are restored right here, right now. Right at that point, when they did that, God is now in their lives. They have been restored to a right relationship with God. But understand this, and a lot of believers get shocked because they don't understand this. Just because you get right with God, just because you get right and tight with Him, that does not mean that everything is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be smooth. Sometimes, in fact, it gets worse. Sometimes it gets kind of intense. See, when we get right with the Lord, the enemy is hacked off. He is angry. And he's going to attack. He's not going to be happy about you getting right with the Lord and leaving His system. So you can expect an attack. Look at verses 7 and 8. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines. In 2 Timothy 3:12, we're told, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, that's a promise, folks. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a promise. But you know, it's not a promise I hear anybody claiming. You know, you hear people go, I claim that verse for me. I claim it. You know, I've never heard anybody claim that one. I claim that persecution. Yeah, bring it on, Lord. I've never seen it on the refrigerators at anybody's home. You seen those magnets, you know, with Bible verses on there? I've never seen it on a plaque either. There's a lot of pretty cool plaques, you know, with Bible verses in there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. You know, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeah. You know, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Yeah. If you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. Yeah. But expect it. That's the norm. You know, the enemy hears of this gathering, and whether they know that it's a time of national repentance for Israel, or whether they thought that Israel was gathering together to go to war against them, the Philistines attack Israel. Now, Israel continued to follow through with their repentance here. They did the right thing. They no doubt cried out to the Lord themselves, but they also had Samuel, God's chosen leader, the prophet, the high priest, the judge. They had him cry out to God for them as well. Do not cease to cry out to the Lord, they said. In other words, don't stop, okay? Cry out to the Lord for us and don't stop. We want him to deliver us. And you know what? Samuel did that. And he did something else that he was supposed to do under the Old Testament system. Look at verse 9. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. And the Lord answered him. Awesome. God did just as he promised them in Deuteronomy 30 was one of those places. Just as Israel was about ready to go into the promised land, God had Moses speak to them, and God knew that they were going to backslide. God knew that they were going to drift away from him. And so he told them, hey, when you do that, when you drift away and you realize, oh man, we're far from God, and you want to come back, then repent. Repent, get rid of all your idols, get rid of all your sin. Call out on me and I will come back. I will deliver you. And God keeps his promises, folks. He kept his promise there and he always keeps his promises. Now look at verses 10 through 14. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued. And they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now, that name Israel that they called this stone, it has nothing to do with Scrooge, okay? Ebenezer means the stone of help. And God had helped them. So they put that stone and said, God's helped us. He has helped us this far. And understand what has happened, folks. Get the big picture. Israel was sinning. Israel had drifted away from the Lord. Israel longed for the Lord. They understood their condition, that they were far off from the Lord. They admitted it. They admitted that they had forsaken God and that they had been serving the false gods and doing their own thing. They repented. They turned from their sin and turned back to God. They cried out to God. They made a sacrifice for their sins. And in doing so, God came back into their lives and into their nation. In Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Folks, when the enemy attacked, God was for Israel. Who could be against God? God intervened on their behalf, saving Israel, delivering them from their enemies, and then blessing them in their land. Restored a lot of the land back to them, just as he promised he would do. Now that was them, and that was them. But how about you? How about you? How about right now? Where are you at with the Lord? Do you miss the Lord? Is there distance between you and the Lord? Do you long for or do you desire to have a right relationship with the Lord like you once had? You know, he's made the same kind of promises to us that he made to Israel. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Numbers 23:19, speaking of his faithfulness, says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent? Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" He's faithful, folks. Not only does he have the power to do anything that he promises to do. Understand that. Nothing can get in his way. Nothing can stop him. He's God. He's bigger than anybody or anything, right? But it is in his nature to keep his promises. In Hebrews 6:18, we're told that it is impossible for God to lie. See, it's impossible for him to lie because that would be against his nature. He's not a man that he should lie. And nothing can get in his way because he is God. He is all-powerful. You know, we may make a lot of promises, huh? I mean, if you're a parent, you've probably made a promise that you did not keep to your kids. I meant to. You know, I meant to be there, or I meant, I really wanted to take us there, but this happened, and that happened. I'm sorry I'm late. I know I promised I'd be here at this time, but the road was closed. The traffic was too bad. This happened, or that happened. I got sick, or something like that. None of that stuff pertains to God. There ain't no road that gets closed that he can't get through. He's God. He's able to keep the promises, and it is his nature to keep his promises, and he doesn't change. God does not change. See, he's faithful, but he's also just, it says here. He's just to forgive us, to cleanse us. See, understand this. It's not that God just arbitrarily decides to ignore our sin. See, he's also righteous. And his righteousness demands that sin is punished. He can't blow it off. Atonement has to be made. But folks, he is completely just in forgiving us when we come to him, when we confess our sins, and when we put our trust in Christ and his death for us. Because folks, all of our sins were punished. They were atoned for on the cross of Christ. That's how he can, and that's how he will forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins and all of our unrighteousness. God speaking to Israel, but it still pertains to us. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." No matter how many sins, folks, no matter how many sins that you have been involved in and even practicing, if you come to him, cry out to him, confess your sin to him, turning from your sin and turning to the Lord, understand this. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. And he will restore you to himself. In John 6:37, Jesus himself said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." And again, he can't lie. He will receive you back. Remember the night that I knelt in front of my couch in the living room, the night that I gave my life to Christ, I had read 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And I realized right then that that's what I needed. The Holy Spirit quickened that to my heart and just said, "That's you. I can do this for you." And I got down on my knees and I started asking God to forgive me and all. And then the enemy whispered in my ear, "Are you kidding? God's not listening to you. He's not going to take you. After all you've done, all the sin and garbage that you've been involved in, no way, Jack. You got no chance at all." And then the Holy Spirit reminded me of that verse of John 6:37. I remember praying, "Lord, I don't really know if you want to have anything to do with me, but I read that you said if I come to you, you would in no way cast me out, and I'm coming." And Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll make me a new creature, I'll be yours the rest of my life. And he did that. Because I remember praying too. I said, but I remember reading somewhere else that says that you're not a man that you would lie. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe what you're saying. And he came into my life, changed me. A couple of weeks later, my wife says, you know, you're weird, but I like it. She was divorcing me at the time. And she said, maybe I'll stop the divorce. About two more weeks later, her and our two best friends gave their lives to the Lord. Because they said, anything that can change a jerk like you has got to be real. And that was like 43 years ago. God keeps his promises. And it doesn't matter how bad you think you've been. There's no sin too great that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. He is faithful and he is just to cleanse us from every sin, to forgive us of every sin, and to cleanse us from every unrighteousness if we'll just come to him, if we'll trust him. And if you've never come to Jesus, never received him as Lord and Savior, understand this, he won't turn you away either. All you have to do is come to him. And one last thing. We never have to be apart from him. We never have to get to that place where it's been weeks or months since we prayed. Folks, what we need to do is keep short accounts with the Lord. That as soon as we realize that we have sinned, as soon as you realize, oh man, I should have done that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Right then, Lord, I'm sorry. Confess your sin to him right then and there. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Jesus died for that sin too, and I'm sorry. Help me not to do that anymore. And you know what? You're right with God. And then you can get back walking with him. Don't let sin get in the way. But today, if you're longing for the Lord, let's do something about that right now, huh? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that Kayla didn't break her neck. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are gracious, that you're merciful, that you're kind, you're patient. Father, right now, as we stand before you, and I pray that this is true, Lord, each and every one of us here right now, as we stand here, Lord, we want to confess any and every sin to you right now. Father, we're just going to confess those things to you in our heart of hearts, just quietly before you. Lord, hear our hearts as we confess our sin to you, and we don't want to do them anymore. Father, every sin, we admit that they're wrong. We no longer want them to be a part of our lives. Even the sin of being self-willed. Lord, we surrender our lives to you now, new and fresh. And pray, Father, that you now would come into our lives anew and afresh, that you would refill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would give us that passion for you, to love you, to serve you, to honor you with all of our hearts. Lord, do a new work in us, starting right now, Lord. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.